You have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me this morning some familiar verses of Scripture. Psalms 23. Amen. You might as well get used to this. Now, next week, I don't know what John will be preaching on, but for the next few weeks that I'll be preaching, I'm going to be doing a study of the Lord's Psalm, the Psalm 23 and the Shepherd's Psalm. I believe it's one of the best little notebooks of the relationship between us and God you can find in the Bible. And I've looked at it every way. I've looked at it from a writer that's a shepherd. I'm looking at it from people that were writing as if they're the sheep. And the good thing about it is it's not but six verses, so it won't take more than a couple of months. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, for he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I want you to pray with me, but when you do, I want you also to remember little Olivia. She's missing today. That's Makai's little girlfriend. And that's actually Heather's daughter. She has pink eye. Heather's husband also has pink eye, so we want to be praying for him that God would touch them. That's the reason Heather's not here today. And I let it slip my mind when I was doing prayer requests. But when you're praying for the service and God to bless me, would you pray God touch that little child and help her with her pink eye? Amen. Father, we thank you today for your love, your mercy. I thank you for your word. And I ask you, God, to use me as an oracle of your presence to preach your word. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Now, last week I talked about the Lord as my shepherd, and I dealt with things like what is meant if you call him shepherd. What makes him the shepherd? What does the word is imply? The Lord is. You know, if you stop right there, you could preach for a while. God is. Amen. You ever notice God's never tried to explain how he got there, where he was, where he come from? He just said, I am that I am. And he's never asked us to do anything but believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And you know, church, there are a lot of people that spend all their time trying to figure out God, trying to decide where he come from, how he got there, and all this kind of stuff. I had a young man tell me one time, said, I know where God came from. I said, you do? He said, yeah. I said, boy, if you do, we got it made. I said, we can make millions, but I can't figure out why you suddenly found it. Come on, church. I had somebody bring me a book the other day and said, this is something revealed to a guy that the whole world needs to know. And I said, all these thousands of years since Jesus came, and suddenly we got a guy getting a revelation. It's contrary to the word of God. It's supposed to be truth. Hello? I just don't believe that, church. That's why that book ain't never got off my shelf. It's still laying there, and one day I'll use it when I need to start a fire. Hello? I'm worried about these people that find stuff that people have been searching all these years and can't find it, and they turn around writing books on it talking about God revealed this to me. He revealed stuff to John Smith, but I don't read it. Hello? Amen. Someone said, who's he? Just do a little research. He'll figure it out. The reality is, I don't think it's hidden. I think God said, I am that I am. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's all I need to know. I just need to know that before there was anything, God. And God said, let there be. And everything started coming into existence. And nothing exists without him. Nothing was made without him. And God is. But now the important thing is, it didn't stop with the Lord is. He said, the Lord is my. That little pronoun makes a whole new distinct difference in it. He's not Lord of the world. He is not the Lord of everybody else. He's not the shepherd of everybody. He is my shepherd. Amen. David said, oh God, thou art mindful of me. And I need to understand that God is my shepherd. He is my Lord. He is the one that makes me able to overcome everything that comes in my life. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. I will touch on that just a little bit more in a moment, but I want to kind of catch you up to where I was last week. If I can get this thing to go back down where it's at. Glory. I started talking about what makes us sheep. The Bible refers to us as sheep. And what makes us sheep? And I had some of you kind of get upset with me when I started telling you what makes us sheep. But let's face it, we're sheep because, first of all, we're bad about straying. I get tickled. I have people tell me, brother, I don't believe you can backslide. And there's some of the ones that practice it. Hello? I told somebody one time, I was in a meeting with a bunch of different preachers, and I said, you know, the sad part about it is these guys over here don't believe you backslide. We do. We practice it. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, there ought to be a middle road where you get there and realize I can live right. I don't have to mess up. I don't have to backslide. But if I stay close to God, I can. But sheep by nature are wanderers. I mean, they can be having it wonderful, and they're going to always look over and go, you know, it's greener over there. And inevitably, you got people living right. God's blessing them, and then all of a sudden they go, oh, I got a new word. And they bleat because they're hungry. Money, money. Man, man. Oh, I'm sorry. I get carried away sometimes. Glory. And guys be going along going, woman. And they get all messed up. But you know what? If you sell out to God, he becomes your Lord. You don't have to stray. You learn, instead of following other sheep, you start following the shepherd. And when you follow the shepherd, you don't get in trouble. You get in trouble when you follow sheep because all the sheep just as dumb as you are. Come on, church. I see some of you done got mad again. I'm not dumb. Well, you ever notice this? There's a difference between dumb and ignorant. Ignorant means you don't know no better. Dumb's when you know better and do it anyway. And you go, man, was I not dumb for doing that? I mean, how many of us sitting here has always done stuff and go, you know, if I thought about it, I don't believe I'd done that. Well, that means we're dumb. We knew it was wrong. We knew it wasn't going to work. But we got this dumb idea it would. And we tried it. And it blew up in their face. And we have to start all over. Come on, church. Amen. That's what makes a sheep. But now notice this. Also, they have no way to satisfy their self. You realize it doesn't matter how much you get in this world, you ain't never going to be satisfied. That's why millionaires commit suicide, because they're not happy with everything they got. Amen. You say, what are you getting at? I can't satisfy myself, but in him I can live and move and have my being. And by him, I am more than a conqueror. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. They have no sense of danger. Sheep be walking down the road, hear something in a bush, they'll go, I wonder what that is. Let me go check it out. You know, usually what's in a bush is not something you want to find. Come on, church. My nephew was working on his Eagle Scout badge, and he had to camp out by himself. And he's out there camping out, and he's asleep, and he's all by himself with a sleeping bag, and he hears something in the bush beside me, and he's throwing slap the bush. The rest of the night, he's in the ER with a snake bite because there was a snake crawling around in that bush beside him, and he slapped it and got bit. So he's at his Eagle Scout, and his name is Snake Bite. That's his Indian name he got when he got his Eagle Scout badge. Amen. Y'all seen him. He comes here. His name's it's Will. I know that, but he's just hard-headed. He's got a hard wheel. But it's like some of us. We want what we want. We don't care what somebody says. It doesn't matter if the Word of God says it's wrong. I want it because we don't have a sense of danger. We're like sheep. They don't think about how bad it's going to be. They just know they want to go over there. And they take off, and the shepherd has to go and pull them back. And sometimes they don't make it. Come on, church. Because you see, sheep are defenseless. They have no ability to defend themselves. And because of that, they walk out and get in situations they can't handle. Can I tell you that happens to a lot of us? But notice this, sheep are also easily targeted by their predators. That's why they need a shepherd who is vigilant, a shepherd that's online. That's why I know that my God watches over me 24/7, 365 days out of the year. He keeps me and he leads me and he guides me. And the Bible said he ever leadeth and he ever guideth. Glory. You ever notice in Elizabethan English, we don't like that, leadeth and guideth, and you can write the Bible down, and I'll never ever be on a computer. It'll mark under that and say it's wrong, because modern English don't understand, but that word E-T-H on the end of a word means it's a continuation clause, and it says leads, but he don't just lead me today. He leadeth me every day. He doesn't just take care of me, but he taketh care of me every day. Hallelujah. And because of that, I can trust in him. Could you say amen? Glory. But you say, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you that God is our protector. He is our feeder. He is the one that watches over us. He is the one that takes care of us. Could you say amen? Glory. He is our owner. The shepherd owns his sheep. They belong to him. You say, well, bless God, I'm my own person. And then you're not saved. You're not sold out to God. You can never get saved and not become his. See, all God requires of salvation is that you give him your life. You don't just give him your thought pattern. You don't just give him a few hours every week. But the Bible said, for me to live, I've got to die. That means I got to let go of who I am and become who he wants me to be. And the sooner I do that, the better off I am. Could you say amen to that, church? You say, wait a minute, preacher, what are you talking about? He is the owner. When you say the Lord is my shepherd, you give him ownership of your life. You no longer have control of where you're going, what you're doing. As long as you're following him, he takes you where you want to go. He does with you what he wants to do. Come on, church. You say, preacher, do you believe that? I'm here, aren't I? Amen. You say, what are you talking about? I was born, raised in Buell. I've been an evangelist for 35 years, and all of a sudden God speaks to me in the parking lot of this church one night and said, I want you here, and I'm here because God put it in my heart to be here, and I'm going to stay here till God tells me to move on because he owns me. I'm not in charge of my life. I can't do what I want to do because the Lord is my shepherd. He is my owner. Could you... S.M. Lockridge said it this way. He didn't have to stamp his laundry mark on the meadows, but he's the owner. Hallelujah. He did not have to put a copyright on the songs he gave the birds to sing, but he's the owner. Hallelujah. He does not have to get a right for the sun to shine in the morning, but he is the owner. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? He owns it. Why? Because he is the creator, and by his own creative power, he created it, and because of that, he is the owner. Could you say amen to that, church? Well, God didn't create me. Sorry to make you understand. Doesn't matter who you are, where you came from. David said it this way. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God created every one of us. Every one of us has abilities to do things for God. Amen. You ever notice that folks that are called to sing can sing? The rest of us play at it, but some folks can sing. I got some of you looking at me, oh, what's that supposed to mean? It's up to self-interpretation. Glory. God calls somebody to teach, they can teach. Have you ever been with somebody said they was a teacher and you're sitting there going, ooh. God calls somebody to preach, they can preach. God gives them certain abilities to communicate what's inside them and to help folks. And they may not realize it till the day comes. And then suddenly they're there. Amen. I've known men that wasn't the greatest preachers in the world, but God called them to pastor. And they were great pastors. And they saw to it. They found a way to fill their pulpit, either with themselves or somebody else. But they were great men of God who could pastor a church. But they weren't the great preachers in the world. I'll never forget one guy who was in a meeting one night. And he said, I'll tell you, if preaching's all it was to being a pastor. And he stopped and paused, and his son stood up and said, you'd be out of a job, Dad. Glory. Amen. He started laughing. He said, I was thinking it, but I wasn't going to say it. But he pastored a great church, and he was a great pastor the whole time I ever knew him. Folks loved him because he could pastor a church. He wasn't the greatest preacher in the world, but he was a pastor. And you know, church, the reality is God gives us abilities to do those things, but he created us like we are. Do you know scientifically that there's a chance 350,000 to one that you'd be who you are? I got that out of a biology book. Y'all want to read it and they're wrong, you can call them and tell them, but I got it out of a book. But that book says that there's 350,000 to one chance you are who you are, but you're not who you are by accident. You were fearfully and you were wonderfully made. God created you, and because of that, he is the owner of your life. And if you'll just sell it back out to him, come on, church. Amen. Because he is the owner, he's got a right to claim ownership. Amen. But notice this, if that's not good enough for you, you belong to him because he bought you. Glory. I don't know about you, but I'm bought with a price. I wasn't worth a thing in 1974. I had nothing else to live for. But I stumbled into a church and I found a God that said, I love you just like you are. You don't have to change one thing, but when I get a hold of you, I'll put you where I want you to go and I'll change your life. And because of that, I understand in his blood, I have been redeemed and the price has been paid. And because of that, I got a right. And because he paid for me, he owns me. Could you... Glory. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. But the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's why in John, Jesus said, the good shepherd, I am the good shepherd, for the good shepherd have giveth his life for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life so you and I could have everlasting life. Could you say amen? But look. Not only did he buy us, not only did he create us, but he lays himself out for us every day in every situation. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Because, see, he is ever liveth to make intercession for them. He said, what are you talking about? Every day I'm alive, I make it because of him. Could you say amen to that, church? Say, what are you talking about? You see, remember the Bible tells us about Abraham, how he prayed for Lot. And Lot was spared because Abraham was in the mountain praying for him. Can I tell you that is a foreshadow? That is just simply an analogy of what goes on in our life. I do not make it in this world because of who I am or what I got going for me. I am not here because I had some kind of connection, but I've got a God. I've got a friend in the hills of glory who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, who every day, 24 hours a day, is interceding for me with him and saying, hey, I paid the price for it. I died for him. He's got a right through the blood to come before the throne with boldness, making his request known unto me. And because of that, I got a right to believe I can live in him and I can make it in him. I can go in. Glory. So you see, because he is my shepherd, he's my owner. But now because he's my owner, that last thing really kicks in. He said, I shall not want. The word shall, what does it mean? Purpose of the will. I can make definite plans about the future. This is a word of intention. Say, what are you talking about? Shall is a definite. That's why when people misquote John 3:16, they mess up when they read it and say, shall not perish. Because in the Bible, it doesn't say shall not. It says should not perish. If shall was in there, then you wouldn't have to worry about nothing else. Because shall means he can't change. But I will tell you this. He said, if the Lord is my shepherd, I'm not going to want. I shall not want. Say, what are you talking about? Because the Lord is a good husbandman of his sheep. He takes care of us. He sees to it that we're fed. He sees to it that we're kept. He sees to it that we're taken care of, that we're moved from place to place, that we make it through the valleys and through the trials and through the tribulations. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. My intimacy with God is what makes the content of whether or not I'm going to want. And if I'm close to God and walking in his presence, then I shall not want for the things of this world. Could you say amen to that, church? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm not going to get everything I want. I'm not going to be a multimillionaire like some preachers want to preach to you, but I will have everything I need, and it's going to be provided for me by the Christ that serves and trusts in me. Come on, church. Hallelujah. The old song says, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I know who holds my hand. Glory. It doesn't matter what's going to happen tomorrow as long as I'm intimate with my Savior. He is my Lord. And because he's my Lord, if the whole world falls apart tomorrow, I shall not want. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Glory. It's faith and desire. I expect the Lord to carry me. Matthew 21:22. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Well, preacher, I've been praying. You know, I used to kid people. I said, I prayed for a Mercedes. All I ever got was a Toyota. But God knew I needed that Toyota when I was traveling all the time. It got 30-something miles to gallon. I couldn't afford a Toyota as an evangelist or a Mercedes. I could afford the Toyota. Never had one give to me either. But I had what I needed to get me by and to get me where I needed to be so I could perform the work of God. And that's all he ever promised. Amen. And sometimes what we ask for, he don't give us because he understands it's not what we need. See, some sheep walking through the valley will look over there and see something they like to eat, and they'll run over there to it. But the shepherd will go take his staff and catch them and hook them back over into the group because he realizes what's over there might look good right now, but there's stuff in there that'll make them sick. There's stuff in there that'll mess them up. There's stuff in there they don't need. And so he turns them back the other way. Can I tell you, as long as I follow him and I walk in his presence and I let him have control of my life, I'm not going to want for what I need to make it in this world, because my God is going to take care of me, and my God is going to provide for me, and my God is going to carry me through. Could you say amen? But notice this, there's also a future tense. I know the Lord will care for me. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. In other words, I don't have to back up, because I know that I know that I know there is nothing written in this book that my God cannot do, that my God cannot perform. Amen. Moses said, oh, can the Lord do it? And I hear Jeremiah say with his right hand and his stretched out arm, there is nothing too hard for my God. And I'm telling you right now, because he is who he is, I can trust in him and know that I shall not want. Could you say amen? Well, what is it we're not going to want for? There are four great needs in life. And I'm going to run through it real quick because I'm not going to keep you all day. Number one, love me. Romans 5:8, for God commanded love toward us that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Everybody wants to be loved. God says, hey, I love everybody. And he ain't like us. You know, I love everybody. You can't love somebody you know. I have empathy for the Chinese that aren't saved, and I pray for them, but I don't love them because I don't know them. See, y'all going, well, preacher, you got to love everybody. That's semantics. If I love everybody I come in contact with real love, then I'm loving everybody. Because if everybody in this world started loving everybody in this world, there wouldn't be any more hate. Come on, church. But you see, the thing about God is he knows everybody. So when he says, I love them, he loves them just like they are. Come on, church. Because he died for them, whether they ever accepted or not. He still died for them. He died for Saddam Hussein. He died for those men of ISIS that's cutting people's heads off, just like he died for you and me. And if they would but believe, they could learn to know Jesus Christ just like I did. Because there is nobody in this world so far gone, God can't forgive them, and God can't bring them back, and God can't give them everlasting life. Could you say amen? Because if it's not for them, it wasn't for me. But thank God it was for me, and it's for everybody else who'll believe. Could you say amen? But not only do we need love, we need acceptance. I mean, that's why we got people walking around here with hair dyed goofy, getting piercings all over the place where they ain't supposed to be, because they want to be accepted. And we are dumb enough to think, if I get to looking as goofy as some of these people, everybody will accept me. You get in a group of them goofy people, they'll accept you. Other than that, you really stick out like a sore thumb. Glory. We got guys wearing breeches all the way down to their knees. Come on, I'm just fitting in. No, you stupid. You can't even run with your breeches like that. You go to the store, you got to lean over and ask somebody to help you get change out your pocket. That's crazy. Got women wearing shoes, making them 5 inches taller than they're supposed to be, and they barely can move, and they go, this is comfortable. Come on, church. Why? Because we want to be accepted. We buy certain types of cereal because we want to be accepted. We buy certain types of mayonnaise because we want to be accepted. We buy certain things, drive certain things, look certain ways because we want to be accepted. Well, you know what? John 6:37, all that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. You know what he said? God said, I accept everybody. Come on, church. Praise God. Amen. I'll be honest with you, church, if all of us was back out in the place where we weren't born again and we were living like we was, there's folks in this church wouldn't get nowhere in 100 miles of me. Glory. Now they run up, want to shake my hand, want me to talk to me, want me to come over to the house. I mean, let's face it, I had kin folks didn't want me coming to the house before I got saved. Glory. I got brothers used to say, hey, don't let them come over to my house. I mean, it was called when I left, I took stuff with me. Amen. Glory. I didn't have a five-finger discount. I'd get all 10 of them on there if I needed to. Glory. But I had to have income to support habits I had. And they didn't want me around because I wasn't acceptable then. But you know what? God took me just like I was. He said, hey, I don't need you to perfect yourself. I'm going to put you on the wine press. I'm going to lay you down on the threshing floor. And when I get through with you, you'll become acceptable. Amen. I want to be honest with you, church. What I was 40 years ago, you wouldn't have nothing to do with. But God has been working on me for 40 years and brought me to where I am. I'm not perfected yet, but I am a long way down that road. And because of that, I am acceptable in the sight of God. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. We all like to be exalted. We all like for somebody. Listen, ain't nothing makes you feel good than getting a big place. Somebody call you out by name. Hello? It might even see something bad, but your name got out in front of everybody, and you're like, yeah, that's me. If you went to my high school, everybody in my school knew me. Because just about every morning, well, every morning my name got called out while I was praying, but just about every morning after that, it come out over that intercom again. Stroop in your room, send him to the office. I need to talk to him. I was on first name basis with all the principals. Glory. I was preaching at a camp meeting, and the assistant principal was at my school, was playing the piano for a singing group. And I said something about it, and the guy running the camp meeting that night walked over and said, do you really know him? He said, I don't know. He said, son, stand up. And I stood up. He said, turn around and grab that chair. And I seen like it. He said, yeah, it's him. He come over after church. He said, I hope I didn't embarrass you. I said, you meant to. He said, well, the truth of the matter is that's usually the position I saw you in. Because I'd get in trouble and they'd say, you got 2 days or 2 licks. I'd say, I'll take the 2 licks. I'd go by the office and pow, pow. I'd get out the door. Oh. But it's great when somebody calls your name out. Because it exalts you. It gets people to know who you are. And we like to be lifted up. We like for people to know who we are. Amen. There's nothing worse than being somewhere where nobody knows you. And then nothing better than have somebody walk in and go, hey, I was in Locust, North Carolina. Those of you where that's at, it's plumb nearly over yonder and out of the way. It's in between Albemarle and Charlotte. And y'all still don't know where I'm talking about much. But I'm out there at this little restaurant and I'm sitting there eating. And ain't nobody in that whole town knows me except the people who've been coming to church where I'm running revival. And I'm sitting there eating. And all of a sudden somebody said, Kenneth Stroop. My head popped up and the guy said, what's going on? I said, it's somebody from Buell. He said, why? I said, because that's the only people that call me by that name. And all of a sudden I looked up and there's a dude from Buell that was doing construction work, was in that restaurant eating breakfast and saw me and called my name out. And suddenly I became somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, church, smile. You say, what are you talking about? Look, I am nobody. Demons don't care about my name. They could care less if I tell them, hey, I'm Ken Stroop. That doesn't bother them a bit. I'd be just like the sons of Sceva because they're going to go, Paul, I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? But when I come to them in the name of Jesus Christ, I become somebody. I become known not for who I am, but who I belong to. And because of that, I have been lifted up through him. And my Bible said, if I cast myself on the Lord, he will lift me up. Oh, come on, church. Oh. But I also need to be protected. John said it this way, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You say, what are you talking about? The shepherd puts me in his hand. He's going to take care of me. As long as I'm smart enough to stay there, I got it made. Come on, church. When I'm in the sheepfold, if I'm not dumb enough to get out of the fold, I'm okay. When I get in troubles, when I decide that path looks better than the one God's got for me, and I end up down that path where I don't belong. Come on, church. Philip Keller said, I have one of the most beautiful sheep I ever owned in my life. He was a shepherd in Australia. He said the problem I had was she just never was happy with whatever I gave her. She'd have the best grass, the best water, but she'd find her way down to the fence and go around and work her way down the seashore and get up on the side of the hill. And many times she'd get over there, that one little patch of green grass, and in a few moments she'd have it eaten. The rest of the day she was gnawing on nub and drinking salt water because she couldn't get back around that fence. She went around, and I'd end up having to go get her. And said it wasn't long, she started carrying other sheep with her, and I had to kill her because I couldn't keep her where she had to be. I want to tell you something, church. I got a God that said, if you'll follow me, I'll lead you, and I'll guide you, and I'll direct you. But if you decide to turn around, you can walk off on your own. But if I'll follow him, I've got it made. I've got protection from anything. Come. Glory. It doesn't apply to everything. If I want fun, God just gives me satisfaction. If I want lust, God keeps me from temptation. If I want money, he gives me what money cannot buy. If I want better circumstances, he said, I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. You see, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want for rest, for he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for refreshment, for he leadeth me beside still waters. I shall not want for forgiveness, for he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I shall not want for companionship, for yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I shall not want for comfort, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I shall not want for substance, for thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of mine enemies. I shall not want for joy, because thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I shall not want for anything in this life, for surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of this life. I shall not want for the life to come, for I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let me bring this home and get out of here. When I was a kid, my mom used to read to me. She had books called Bible story or bedtime story books. Wasn't Bible because we weren't Christians. My dad was a backslid preacher. My mom, backslid church member. And they read Bible every once in a while, but most of the stuff I got was just Bible, bedtime stories. And she had a whole set of those things. And she'd read them to us, and you got to realize that I had this bad habit of memorizing stuff. I was in the third grade in the top reading group in the county, in Tuscaloosa County, and I made a mistake. I got to the first chair. Problem was, wasn't nobody reading before me, so I couldn't memorize what they was reading. And that's when they found out I couldn't read a lick. I couldn't read Spot, Dick, Jane, Ball. I didn't know none of them things. I always just looked at the pictures and memorized what the people said and quoted it. I had to go back and take remedial reading classes. But I could memorize anything. I have a little book that I read at Christmas every year. By the time I was 4 years old, I could quote you that entire book. Just turn the page and I'd tell you what it said, and I wouldn't even miss a word. My mom would read me these stories and I'd memorize them. And one in particular, a little boy. His dad helped him build a boat. He loved that little sailboat. He carried it down to the lake one day, and he had a string tied to it, and he was letting it run around in the water. Big gust of wind caught it, and the string slipped out of his finger, and it was gone. It run across that lake, went out of sight. He cried. He looked. He went around that lake. Nobody found his boat. Months later, he's downtown, and he saw that little boat. It was in the store, hobby shop. Had a for sale sign on it. And he went inside and told the man, said, I want to buy that boat. And the guy told him how much it was. He reached his pocket and he pulled out some change, and it wasn't but like 4 or 5 coins, and he laid it on there. And the guy said, "Son, that's not enough money." He said, "You don't understand. That's my boat. I lost it at the lake." He said, "Can you prove it?" He said, "Yes, sir. My initials are right there on the corner that showed I made it. It's mine." The man said, "Well, you know what, son? I think I just reduced that price." And he let him have that boat for that little bit of money. And he walked outside crying, and he hugged that boat. And he said, little boat, you're twice mine. Once because I made you, and once because I bought you. And from now on, you'll be my boat. I'll protect you. I'll care for you. I'll hold you." Can I tell you this morning, God's looking for some people who will crown him Lord of their life and will say, "The Lord is my shepherd."